Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. 502.
Can you guys shut up?
It's Rob and Suk, your sports bros here. What's up?
Sudded.
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 Coming up tonight in the club, 6 to 7. Let me scroll down here. I've got a lot in my notes right now. Well, we got a lot of good stuff.
Well, we got movie theater news as well. We didn't get to that.
That's right.
In the news, but talk about it in the club.
And Tony Starlight's going to be in tonight.
Yeah, he's trying to capitalize on the whole Elton John thing.
Yeah, we're going to talk up some Elton John.
Shamelessly promote Tony Starlight because of Elton John. And you know what? Good for Tony Starlight.
And all that John Bon Jovi talk yesterday.
Hey.
We forgot to tell you why we were even talking about him in the first place. And that is that he is now a doctor.
Yes.
We're going
to
discuss
that. We did not get to Dr. Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi. All right. So that's in the club, 6 to 7. Now, this hour, we've got a choose-your-own-adventure, really. I've got a couple of baseball items. You know, Mike is bringing fun with audio to the table
this
hour.
Yes, he is.
He says he's got some fun audio for us, sports audio. So we'll get to that. And it is probably a good time to revisit the NBA Anonymous Players Survey.
Yeah.
To discuss who they think is the most overrated player in the league. It's rather ironic.
I have not seen who they voted as the most overrated
player. Well, this
player
is from the regular season, but it's interesting to go back and look at some of these answers now that we are seeing what we're seeing in the postseason.
In the postseason.
Yes. So we'll get to that this hour. Seemed like there was something else I had to tease, but I don't remember what it is. So I think we're ready to roll with the Hot 5 at 5.
Also in the club.
Hot topics.
Jefferson.
Hot opinions.
Oh, golly,
I watched that.
Hot today.
And hot air.
Not all of it.
It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
I caught it late.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Okay, hey, lesson. Let's get lesson going to the time of
what
the...
Number five.
Yeah, last night was that live Jeffersons Archie Bunker thing.
Yeah, they did All in the Family first and then the Jeffersons. And I didn't know how that was going to go. It was really well done.
You liked it, huh?
I liked both of them. I'm more of a Jeffersons guy than I am All in the Family. But both were really, really well done. And I'll tell you what, Jennifer Hudson stole the show. She did a live version of the Jeffersons theme song. Holy cow. Brought the house down.
Number five. NFL OTAs have begun. The Niners are the first to get hit with injuries. Nick Bosa, their stud draft pick, yanked a hammy. He's out a few weeks.
I feel like Nick Bosa is permanently out a few weeks.
They also, according to NFL.com, lost starting safety Jimmy Ward, broke his collarbone.
That's not so good.
Yeah. He was working as the first team safety when he was injured diving for a football. He'll be out for much longer. And Ndamukong Suh's deal with the Bucks is $9+ million. Meanwhile, the man he replaces, Gerald McCoy, his first stop on his free agency tour is Cleveland.
It's interesting because, you know, they signed Suh to a 1-year $9.25 million deal. McCoy was $13 million. I know $4 million is a significant amount of money, but Gerald McCoy is a much better player than Ndamukong Suh.
Texas football coach Tom Herman gets an extension, 2 years. He goes 17-10 in 2 seasons with the Horns and 2 bowl wins. Yesterday, Oregon State landed former Arizona center Nathan Eldridge as a grad transfer. Now, he sat out last season due to injury, but he was on the Remington Trophy watch list before he went down. And in the two prior seasons, he had started 25 games and was all Pac-12 honorable mention in 2017.
That's a nice pickup if you're Oregon State, because to me, where the Beavers are most lacking is along both lines. And so this is a nice pickup. And so maybe a little bit of momentum there. Signed the four-star wide receiver or got a commit from him. First one in almost 900 days, a four-star, and then, you know, landed a guy that was on a Remington watch list.
Oregon State coach Jonathan Smith was on The Fan today on Dirt and Sprague show, and if you missed that, you can go to 1080thefan.com and podcast it. Number three. Oh, yes. What was I doing for number three?
I don't know.
What the hell am I doing over here?
Well, I don't know what two or one is, so I can't suggest a story for you.
I'm missing a story. Well, anyway.
All NBA teams, perhaps?
No, that's coming up. We've got some day baseball for you guys.
The bowl games?
Yeah, you got the bowl game news, the schedule's out. Just do day baseball. That's fine.
I don't. Yeah, let's, when in doubt, go with day baseball.
Cespedes is out for the year. Yeah. That?
No one cares about him.
Yeah.
I do.
Just do day baseball.
The Twins hit 8 home runs again today. That's the second time this year they've hit 8 home runs in a game. 8.
Losers.
They beat the Angels 16-7. Phillies over the Cubs 9-7. Marlins played the Tigers, but no one cares. Red Sox 8, Blue Jays 2. Yankees beat the Orioles again. They are hammering the O's this year.
Oh, as well you should, because the Orioles are warmed over dog meat.
I think they're 10-2 or 11-2 against them.
Pirates 14, Rockies 6, Mets 1. How about that?
Yeah.
6-4.
Let's go, Mets go.
It doesn't matter. Impressively mediocre.
The Nationals bullpen is a dumpster fire.
Braves just beat the Giants 5-4, and the Rays, our Rays, Portland Rays, are up in Cleveland 7-2. Damian Lillard makes the All-NBA second team as voted on by the media. This is his fourth All-NBA honor. He's been a third-teamer, second-teamer twice now, and he made the first team in 2017 and 2018.
Only him and Clyde now have made four All-NBA teams for your Portland Trailblazers.
The first team was Giannis Antetokounmpo, James Harden, Steph Curry, Paul George, and Nikola Jokic. Second team, Lillard, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, and Kyrie Irving. And then the third team was LeBroni, Russell Westbrook, Rudy Gobert, Kemba Walker, and Blake Griffin.
There is a great clip of Klay Thompson finding out live in an interview that he did not make one of the teams, and he's not happy about it.
It'll cost him a lot of money.
Yeah, about 30, 35 million, somewhere in that.
The audio of the clip is fine, but the image of him rolling his eyes when he finds out that Kemba Walker was the guard who made it ahead of him is great.
That is interesting.
And he realizes that the 221 million Supermax is now off the table. That one stings a little bit. It's ridiculous that they tie that Supermax, by the way, to something as arbitrary as the All-NBA voting. Because Klay Thompson belongs on that list.
Yeah, but there's only room for, what do they do, three teams, right?
Three teams.
There's only room for 15 guys.
Maybe all defensive team, but that's not going to get him the Supermax.
So do you think Thompson should be on it over Kemba Walker?
Yes. I honestly think he should be on there over Russell Westbrook, too.
Kemba had a really good season.
Let me ask you, which one would you rather have? I'll take Klay Thompson.
I saw someone suggest Russell Westbrook should have been first team.
Whoa.
I think someone had a first team vote for him.
And tonight, it is Game 5. Bucks host the Raps. East Finals tied 2-2. Raptors have the momentum, but the Bucks are back on their home court where they have been nothing short of sensational. So it gets underway here at 5:30.
What, plus 7.5, I think, favorites tonight is Milwaukee?
They are favored. Kawhi Leonard is favoring that left leg. He played 52 minutes in the double overtime win on Sunday. Kyle Lowry had 25 in the game. By the way, Kyle Lowry's stepping up.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry, who disappears come playoff time every single year, is actually having a nice run for them, but he's hurt.
You know what I love about Toronto?
They said that, quote, he's playing. This was Nick Nurse, not to be confused with Nurse Nice, saying that he's, quote, playing through a lot of pain right now.
Well, whatever. I think that's great, but he's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Lillard, I felt like, was playing through pain, and it showed.
Yeah.
Well, it shows with Leonard, too, but it doesn't. I mean, he's still dynamite.
Yeah, but
whereas Lillard was not.
If you watch him in Game 4, that wasn't nearly the dynamic Kawhi Leonard we saw in game three. In game three, he held Giannis to 1 of 9 shooting when he guarded him, and he had 39 and was just doing everything. You could tell in game four that from an offensive standpoint especially, he could not carry the load. He was not nearly as explosive, and he was hobbling on that leg. And I think it's the other leg. I don't think it's the – maybe he's got that weird thigh thing that always bothers him. I think this is the other leg.
You know what I love about Toronto too is they only really run three guys at you off their bench, main guys, and their names are Serge, Norman, and Fred.
That's fantastic. That should be a t-shirt somewhere.
I'm pulling for Toronto. Hope they win.
Who is Norman?
Norman Powell.
Oh, okay. Because Fred is Fred Van Vliet, right?
Yeah.
Or Fleet?
Yeah. And then Serge Ibaka.
Yep.
Of course.
Serge, Norman, and Fred.
Coming at you.
Sounds like your Monday church coffee group.
That kind of does. What do you do? I'm going to go hang out with Serge and Norm. Maybe Fred will be there. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
That's your Hot 5 at 5. It's refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. All right, let's touch a little bit on Damian Lillard's All-NBA team, second team honor today. But also, guess who was voted most overrated player in the NBA by the players? Let's take a look back at that when we return. It is 5:12 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Have I bitched about Klay Thompson before here?
Yes, you have.
I have? Okay. Just wanted to do that if I hadn't.
You have. You?
Because I am on such an island about him.
I see. I'm the exact opposite. I think Klay Thompson is ridiculously underrated.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that in a sense that he's certainly overshadowed by Durant and Curry and those guys. And Green, really, because Green's such a lightning rod. He gets talked about a lot more than Thompson. Thompson just gets lost in the shuffle at Golden State. So I understand that. But I am on a total sports island. Klay Thompson just drives me insane. Like, if I were a Warriors fan, I would pull my hair out. I'm not saying he's not good or he's overrated. I'm not saying any of that. I just, some of the crap that he chucks up just makes me want to pull my hair out. I have a really hard time watching him. If I were rooting for them, some of the stuff that he shoots, I'm just like, what? I'm yelling at my television.
I just know he gets you 22 a night. He shoots over 40% from behind the arc. He's going to grab you 5-6 rebounds. He plays some of the best defense. He's a Swiss Army knife. He can guard point guards. He can guard two guards. He can even guard threes and fours.
I'm not arguing with any of that. No one is saying anything to the contrary there. What I'm saying is he is a bad shot artist. And that has always driven me crazy. Curry, he's not Curry. And he thinks he is.
No, he's not. But not many people are. I mean, Steph Curry is...
Well, I know, but...
the best point guard in the game.
I think that's the point, is that he kind of... He just... Sometimes he can really shoot them out of... their flow, you know? And not to say he's not good or... He's not important. He is. I love how he D's up. But he's kind of a bonehead sometimes with some of the stuff that he does.
I see that. Like, I get Kemba Walker had a great year. But to me, having a great year in Charlotte and putting up a couple more points, if Klay Thompson was in Charlotte, Klay Thompson would average 28 too.
Well, I do want to see, eventually, I'd love to see Thompson and Draymond on different teams just to see what we then think about them.
Yeah.
I would love to see that because they're just so special and with what they do and what they've built there. It's really hard to envision Draymond Green being that good on another team. But then again, you think about him as a pick and roll partner with Damian Lillard and go, why wouldn't he be? I mean, he's just sensational.
Yep.
And so I don't know, maybe they'll just keep that band together and we'll always see them in Golden State, but it would be interesting to see both of those two guys specifically. Outside of the Warriors format.
Well, let me ask you, how many, if we're going to say true two-way guards, who are the best two-way guards in the NBA? Because you're not getting through five before you mention Klay Thompson.
Oh, God, no. Two-way? No way.
And so that's all I'm saying is in regards to, you know, the all NBA team. And I get it. The Kemba Walker and Russell Westbrook is a stat machine. I just think so much of it just comes down to, we look at your points per game. And I think it's easy to look at Kemba Walker scoring 25 and Klay Thompson has 21 or 22 a game, be like, well, he had a great year. He did. But he had a great year in Charlotte. I mean, I know. I just think some of those numbers are hollow. But to me, to say that Kemba Walker is a better player than Klay Thompson, I don't believe it. I just don't think there are many better two-way players than Klay Thompson.
I don't know. Sometimes these awards, it's like, these guys do have a lot of money riding on this, so it is important.
Yeah,
but,
cost him 30-plus mil.
But to the fans, who cares who's on the first or second team? But I don't think it's about who's a better player. I think it's about who had a better season. And Kemba Walker had a phenomenal year.
Yeah, I did.
That said, I think there is sometimes with these, that's why you don't put so much stock in these types of awards, is that there's probably some fatigue about Klay. Like, to be honest, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Durant, those guys are all so good, and what they do together is so good that they could probably be first and second team or third team every year.
Yeah, and Draymond didn't get it. He had an off year.
Yeah, he was off.
He couldn't shoot, and he was fat.
And he got into Durant.
My favorite part is that they had to talk him into going on a crash diet. I had to not be fat for the postseason. They're like, hey, Draymond, if you want to know how little the regular season matters to Golden State, I give you that. Can you not drink and eat cookies and cupcakes so you can play in the postseason? But like Kyrie Irving was a second team player. And again, I would much rather have Klay Thompson than I would Kyrie Irving.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Kyrie's a bit of a head case. I think if you're looking at two-way guys at the guard spot, you're looking at Klay and you're looking at Jrue Holiday and you're looking at, you know, Westbrook.
Yeah. I like two-way players.
Isn't technically Paul George a guard?
Nah, he plays forward.
And say, yeah, they wouldn't say that.
He's at forward and Kawhi Leonard plays forward too. I mean, so much of the NBA now is positionless, but yeah, they like for the all NBA teams, both of those guys are forwards.
Butler can do, he also forward, but he can do.
Yeah, play.
He's a good two-way guy.
Yep.
Anyway, the most overrated player as voted upon by NBA players anonymously. They do that survey every year in The Athletic. You know who they chose for most overrated? It was actually a tie.
Who you got?
They have two guys.
I don't remember who this was.
Russell Westbrook and Draymond Green.
Interesting. Now, the Westbrook one I get. Boy,
they think he's overrated.
I think a lot of people believe that if you just put someone like him in Golden State, and I just can't abide by that. I think he's way more valuable. And you listen to people in Golden State, and I know he can be a pain in the ass. I just don't think they win titles. This isn't the dynasty without Draymond Green.
But don't players value different things too?
I do.
Like there are guys that, a lot of those guys, they're just looking at, like you say, they fall in love with points and what they get paid on their shot and their points. And
yeah,
he just does so much to help his team win.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of the league doesn't appreciate that as much.
It is true. So much of the NBA, and it's why it can get a little selfish at times, because you are rewarded for what you do with the basketball, putting it in the rim. I mean, right? I mean, it comes down to points.
Mean putting it in the basketball ring?
Yeah, yes, the basketball ring.
Yes.
The ring.
Ted Cruz taught us that.
Yeah, if you score in this league, then you get your respect. You know,
they love you.
Yeah.
Also, receiving votes, most overrated, Klay Thompson, CJ McCollum.
Huh. See, and I...
How about that?
That's interesting that both of those guys, again, I think the Klay Thompson thing comes down to they view him as just an also-ran there in Golden State. And
he's pretty inefficient.
I just think there's a lot of people that believe that those pieces in Golden State are interchangeable between Draymond and Klay Thompson. Throw any good player in there and they would be all NBA. And I don't buy it. Again, watch that series against Portland and how important Klay Thompson is, again, on both sides, and just watch his defensive effort and what he did to two really, really good guards in CJ and Dame.
But isn't it interesting? CJ McCollum was on the most overrated list.
It is interesting.
As voted upon by players.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think CJ didn't have the year that some people were expecting him, but I think early in the playoffs, I think that shut a lot of people up.
Most underrated. Again, this is from the Athletic Anonymous NBA Player Survey. This is from earlier in the season. Drew Holiday was the most underrated, 16%. Yes. Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton were next. And then C.J. McCollum made the list. So, and there's also Kemba Walker.
So some people think underrated, some people think overrated.
Yeah.
Like, I think C.J. is a borderline all-star. I think if he played in the East, I think he'd be an all-star. It's just you play out West. God, it's how many good guards are there? That's just a tough, that's a tough roster to crack. But Drew Holiday is criminally underrated. I think Mike Conley had this for years and years as well.
Love Conley.
Where those guys were just grinders. Those guys were absolute badasses. But again, they're not guys that go out on a regular basis and score 30 a night. They're more of the kind of the Chris Paul model point guards. And for whatever reason, they just, some of it is just team success. But Drew Holiday and Mike Conley just didn't ever get the love, the national media love.
What's interesting about CJ is we were talking about Draymond Green does all these things to help his team, and that probably makes him overrated to some NBA players, right?
Yeah.
CJ is the opposite of that, and yet he's then underrated.
Yeah, CJ, right? Although
he's a scorer.
He's a scorer. There is certainly a one-dimensional aspect, although much like Lillard, I think his defense has gotten better. I think he plays a lot harder on the defensive end. But you're right, there are games where if CJ doesn't have it going, if the shot isn't there and he's not in a rhythm, he can disappear because there's not a lot else that he does that really impacts a game.
And then 122 anonymous NBA players voted for MVP. Again, this was before the season ended. And they chose Harden over Giannis, 44 to 39%.
Yeah, well, and we'll see. A lot of people do think that it's going to be Harden for the MVP for the second straight year.
Well, yeah, because the votes are, I mean,
it's not the playoffs. I mean, it's just regular season. And he had one of the great runs scoring that we've ever seen. I don't remember exactly what it was, but how many games in a row did he have, 30 or 35?
A lot.
It was ridiculous. And he kept the Rockets afloat when guys were hurt and nothing was happening. James Harden was a one-man wrecking crew.
Building a roster from scratch, who do you sign first? Landslide winner, 39%. And it's not LeBron.
No. If you're building a roster.
Giannis.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, 39%. Anthony Davis, 10%. Joel Embiid, 9%. Then Durant, which I think is interesting.
So you're taking in age and everything into consideration?
I think that's part of it.
Kawhi didn't get any of that?
Nope. No love for Kawhi.
How old is Kawhi Leonard?
And where will KD be playing next season? 63% of anonymous players said New York.
Boy, Kawhi Leonard is 27 years old. Wow. If I'm starting a team.
Same age as CJ.
Well, I think you could do a lot worse than starting your team with Kawhi Leonard. Speaking of two-way players.
So Damian Lillard makes the second team All-NBA today.
Yeah, so last year he was first, so clearly he's not as good.
Right. Which is, yeah. Again, very arbitrary.
Yeah, it occurred here.
But now you look at the postseason. You're like, oh,
yeah.
Should have been.
Well, it's like James Harden is going to be the MVP again, and Steph Curry is Steph Curry. So, again, tough unit to crack. But Lillard, every year now, pretty much belongs on one of these teams.
So how does he get better for next year? What's the next thing that he's got to?
The next evolution?
You know he's going to do something. Because every year there's one thing that you notice. Oh, wow, he's way better at that.
I mean, then does he develop a post game?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious based on what happened in the playoffs that he could work on playing off the ball more.
Yeah.
And getting open off the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's something that
if you wanted to
moving around more.
If you wanted to pick out one thing, and you said it, maybe watch some tape of Steph Curry. Right?
Or Curry's unbelievable without the ball.
Even CJ a little bit, right? Like the way CJ moves off the ball, or maybe some of the CJ has a great little mid-range hesitation, kind of that
floater
game.
He's got wiggle.
That if you wanted to add another wrinkle to Lillard's game, it's not big enough. He's not posting people up. Maybe something along those lines.
Like, because Lillard's either jump shot or drive.
Or drive. And CJ,
he does have a little fadeaway mid-range jumper that he did well this year, but God, if he could throw some floaters in there too.
CJ has a great little, just like you said, just shifty, kind of get to the middle and
his arsenal,
like,
is amazing.
Yeah, the arsenal. It's like this, the Phil Mickelson wedge game, right? You just kind of throw stuff up, and maybe that's what he works on.
Yeah, because somebody said, how about some defense, for God's sakes?
No, Dame plays.
I think he's maxed out. Look, he tries, he's worked on it.
And it's
he's
gotten a
only,
lot better.
It has gotten a lot better, but he's only going to be so good defensively.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. Sure. One of the things with Dame and CJ that you're going to have to just take is they're only going to be so good defensively.
Yes, but I,
part of that is their size.
I honestly think that Lillard is not a defensive liability.
No,
I
mean, he's not.
He's not a great defender.
He's
but
just not that big.
No,
the problem.
But he does not. I don't think he's a guy anymore that you look at and say that he gets exposed. I think that part of his game.
You no
has
longer
gotten
need a, to hide him.
Yes, I think that part of his game has gotten a lot better.
Excuse me. All right. Coming up next, Choose Your Own Adventure. Mike has fun with audio. Or we could get to the other thing that I teased, which is the other thing that I teased, which was, oh,
okay,
the fun sports story of the non-specific variety. Would you like that?
No, I want fun with real audio.
It's not exactly the most inspiring thing,
gonna,
is it?
I'm going to go with audio.
It's a pretty interesting little...
Well, let me take an audio. You did not sell that very well.
All right.
At all.
Fun with audio, courtesy Mike, next. But first, well, here's Mike with sports.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Well, it's taken about 8 years, but Mike is finally contributing to our show.
How long has Mike been with us?
I'm kidding, Mike. Don't look at me like that.
I think this is year four or five.
I was just joking.
You got to be careful with Mike. He's very delicate.
Dumbass.
You are a delicate little flower.
He's a pacifist.
We love you, Mike. I was just joking. Now, what do you have for us? You have some baseball audio?
I do. So Gary Thorne, formerly ESPN NHL, I believe, is where he's probably most famous for, is the play-by-play announcer for the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay.
And
boy, the Orioles suck.
They really do. So Gleyber Torres, the Yankees second baseman, up to date today, this season has hit 10 home runs off of Baltimore himself.
Yeah.
10.
Jesus.
Gary Sanchez has 9, by the way. So
against the Orioles?
Against the Orioles.
God. That's,
and Clint Frazier has 7
God,
against the Orioles.
Wait a minute. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
They have 26 home runs between the three of them against one team.
I think Frazier's is 5-7, somewhere
They've
in that
range. They've only played 50 games.
How many times have they played the Orioles?
They have played... 3-7. I think they've played them 12 times already.
I say 50 games total. They've only played each other
12 times.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Well, I think the Orioles do have the. Are they now the worst team in baseball, or is it still the Marlins?
No, I think it's the O's. The Marlins are red hot. Have you seen this?
The Marlins are red hot.
Yes, they won 6 in a row.
They hit a grand slam in the ninth inning today to win.
They're 6. They've won 6 in a row, and they're 16-31. So they're the Orioles are the worst team by one game. They have a negative run differential of 108.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Yeah, they're giving up more home runs than any team has in history to this point. So Gary Thorne, the play-by-play announcer of the Orioles, his calls of the Gleyber Torres home runs have become more and more unhinged as these series have gone on.
Good for him.
Yes. So the first is from May 20th, which was the first game of this four-game set.
Castro's 1-0 delivery to him. Torres drives that ball center field, hit deep. Going back near the wall. Wilkerson, maybe. Nope. Goodbye, home run. Get him out of there. Don't throw to him.
I never seen anything like
Put up four fingers.
I've never seen anything like it.
He is just tearing the Orioles apart. That'll make it a 2-1 ball game as he gets his 7th home run of the year against the Orioles.
So that was
he's got a little Brockmire in him.
Tell him what.
Get him out of there.
So that was from May 20th. This is May 22nd, where Torres hit 2 home runs. Here is the first.
During the streak, he's hitting over 400 during this 10-game hit streak. Torres pumps that one in the air. That's to left center field. Wilkerson back. I don't know. Goodbye, home run. You cannot imagine this happening in Major League Baseball or any other place in baseball. I mean, he is just unstoppable, and it's all home runs against the Orioles, and it is 5-0.
My favorite part is I don't know.
That's a home run, but look, here's the thing. What he wanted to do. He was like, and it's back left center, Wilkerson back in. I don't know. It's a home run, but look, this guy is killing us.
It's like the major league is too high. What? It's very high.
And here it is. In that same game, Torres hit another home run.
In the air to right field, Mancini going back on the ball by Torres. Way back, up, and... I don't even know. Goodbye, home run. I mean... Last two at bats, he's hit home runs numbers 11 and 12 on the season, and now has 10 home runs against the Orioles.
Oh my God, that's
home runs!
Fantastic. Can we hear that? I want to hear that one again. Yeah. This is good.
In the air to right field, Mancini going back on the ball by Torres. Way back, up, and... I don't even know. Wow. Goodbye, home run. I mean... last two at-bats, he's hit home runs numbers 11 and 12 on the season. And now has 10... home runs against the Orioles.
We need to clip the clip. The ah!
Well, that's what I played.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
So he's getting more and more unhinged every single time.
This guy
happens.
Says, "I've waited 13 years for the West Coast Sports Radio to mention my Orioles." Willing to not have any more West Coast Orioles coverage ever again this year. Thanks, Mike.
Well, the Orioles are. Really, really bad.
Yeah,
I think you'll get more coverage because they're going to set records for their badness.
But you know what? They're going to get Adley Rutschman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, number one pick.
They have the number one pick, and he should be the number one pick.
Do you
if they can come to terms with him.
Do you want to go play in Baltimore?
Well, I mean.
Is Baltimore good? Like,
your alternative is Kansas City's got the two pick.
I'd much rather be in Kansas City than Baltimore.
I would too, but I'm biased.
I just, like, Baltimore, for a while there, it was the murder capital of the United States, but now that's Detroit, so I guess you got that
going.
Is
it still Detroit?
Yeah, Detroit, I think, is still number, well, you know what?
It was D.C.
Chicago may have taken that over.
Oh.
Chicago has the most shootings, but I don't know if they have the most murders.
I always thought Camden, New Jersey was the murder capital of the world.
That was the Gary, Indiana.
No, Detroit had it for a...
There's a lot of murder capitals.
Detroit had it. Well, they call it the murder mitten for a reason. Detroit, that was like the one thing Detroit did well was the murders. But Chicago recently has really had a big uptick.
All right. Well, Mike, excellent job with fun with Mike audio today.
You were very hesitant for me to have these. You were like,
I really wasn't
about the Orioles.
Well, yeah, I was hesitant in a sense that, oh, God, Mike wants to do a Yankee bit.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a Yankee bit at all.
It's a Gary Thorne bit.
Yeah. Coming up next, I have another baseball story for you.
And I have your murder rates.
Oh, good.
I've got the murder capital.
Did we get close?
No, we missed one.
Ooh, we did.
Yep.
Los Angeles?
No. Midwest.
Oh, St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll get that next, and then we move on to the club. 542 on the Fan.
In the air to right field, Mancini going back on the ball by Torres. Way back, up, and...
Go! Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Shit, you need it.
All right, the club is coming up. Tony Starlight will be here. Cinetopia news. We have the lowdown on what happened with Cinetopia.
Yeah.
But first, murder stats.
Now, it's different because you want murder rates or total murders?
Well, per capita seems to be more...
Yeah, the rate is probably better.
Yeah, because like East St. Louis is number one, and that's in Illinois. But they've only had 27 murders.
This year. That's all, huh?
Whereas, like,
only 27 by May.
Well, like, if we go to St. Louis, Missouri, they've had 188.
Well, it's bigger.
Yeah, but the murder rate is way higher in East St. Louis.
Yeah, no, that let's go rate.
So St. Louis sucks.
Yeah, you don't want to be there.
Parts of St. Louis suck.
Yeah. So East St. Louis is number one, and that's not in Missouri. That's in Illinois. That's East St. Louis, Illinois. So 27 murders, but the murder rate, because it's so small, way high. Number two, Chester, Pennsylvania.
Really?
Again, only 23 murders.
Chester. Is that outside of Philly, maybe? What is it about Chester?
I don't know, but it looks like it's just like everything about it, from economy to poverty. It's just, it's all bad. It's just, you don't want to live in Chester.
I've never even heard of it.
Nor have I, but I was kind of reading through some of their statistics, and it's just, there's nothing
that
good.
That is south of Philadelphia.
Okay.
All bad. Number three, you did bring this up, Gary, Indiana.
Okay.
46 total murders. And now we're getting into the big boys. St. Louis, Missouri comes in at number four, but they've had 188 murders. Then Baltimore checks in. 318 this year alone.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did I miss? Is this, you're just going by sheer numbers, not rate?
No, no, he's still on rate.
I'm going rate. I'm just telling you what the numbers are.
Got you. Okay.
So Baltimore is the fifth highest murder rate, but they've had 318 murders.
Right. Okay.
So bigger city, but lots of people dying. Mm-hmm. Then Flint, Michigan comes in at number six, 45. And then, you know, so murder rate, they're seventh, but total murders, number one in your heart.
San Juan Islands.
The murder mitten, Detroit, Michigan.
There they are.
373.
Okay.
By May.
And, by May. And then New Orleans comes in, then Salisbury, North Carolina.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and then Danville, Virginia. Now, most shootings, that's Chicago.
Chicago.
But people aren't necessarily dying, they're just getting shot.
Okay.
So if that makes you feel any better. Well, Newark comes in, Mike. You're at number 13. Feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, Newark's not great.
Go New Jersey. Compton a little lower than you think, 14, not nearly as bad. Cleveland, Jackson, Mississippi, yeah, a lot of small towns on here that you wouldn't necessarily think.
You should go down to Compton and get a condo.
I was in Compton once.
They'll gentrify it once, right?
I'll pass.
I'm sorry, what?
They'll gentrify it at some point, right?
I don't know. You'll make
a killing on that condo.
I don't know what the sitch is down there.
So last year, I was looking up Chicago, 765 murders.
For the year?
For the year.
Yeah, you know what the sad thing is, too?
It's two a day, Bob.
765.
I saw a story on
this.
And
that is by far, if you go in total murders, that's number one.
They said that a lot of them now, because many of the victims in the areas where the shootings happen mm-hmm. don't have insurance, the hospital and the ambulances just won't come pick them up. So if there is a call that there is a shooting, many times it will be over an hour because they have to go to a whole nother hospital in another part of town.
Yeah. There could be a hospital that's like 2 miles from where the person shot.
And they won't take them.
And they won't take them. So you have to drive 25 or 30 miles sometimes in traffic across the way.
How would you know if they had insurance or not though?
Now that's the point
well,
is they're
that's
just,
the whole
they're
thing. They're just saying, we don't want to risk it.
Nope.
It's horrible. That whole situation is just...
They're like, take them the other direction. Yeah, my daughter went to school there. there's like parts of the city that it's just... Chicago's a very cool and a very livable city. I love, went out there many times to visit her, and it's such a cool city, but there are parts where it's just... It doesn't matter what time of the day it is, minding your own business. It's just like you do not go there, period.
We drove through one of those parts when I last visited, and it was startling. How different it was from the rest of where we had been thus far in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, there's a lot of places like that. The one that I remember, I'm sure being Midwest, you've got to have this like in Kansas City.
Well, it's just very, I will say, because St. Louis is like this, but only worse. Kansas City's like this, just on a lesser degree. It's just very, very, very segregated.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's still very, and I know in St. Louis, there's a lot of stuff there about how the racial divide, well, you saw it all through Ferguson and everything like that. Is
yep.
It just hasn't been that long. And those are areas that really went out of their way to, in some ways, even through government, stay segregated, you know? And it is very, it's hard to reconcile. I know it was for me. Once I lived in Kansas City for a while, it's like, man, some of these areas, like, you're just told you do not, you don't go there, you get out of there, you better not be there at night, you know, and this and that, and they're bad. Like, it's not...
Nope.
It is not safe, man.
The one that I remember was being in Memphis. We went to Memphis for two bowl games, and you could be driving in Memphis and be in this really, really nice area. Like, you know, these, you know, the brick kind of plantation-style homes, the big pillars or whatever, and you just think you're fine. And I swear to God, you cross a railroad track, and then, like, 2 minutes later, you're like, what the hell? And then there will be people that will tell you, like, you know, like gas stations or whatever, being like, you need to leave. Like, you are not, you know, just a bunch of white guys driving around, and they're like, you can't be here. We're like, well, you just, like, we were just right over there, and they're like, go back. Like, get on this road, go back, cross the tracks, get out of here. You don't want to be here. And someone else pointed out, it's interesting, that whole list, I went through the top 30 cities, only two West Coast cities on the entire thing, San Bernardino and Compton. The only two West Coast cities on the entire list. Everything was Midwest or East Coast.
Wow.
So go West Coast?
Well, I think that's, I guess, encouraging.
Well, I mean, think about it. The top, you know, the top 30 as far as, you know, being either murder rates or total murders, and you've got, and that pretty much goes hand in hand with violent crime, and Compton and San Bernardino, the only two on the list.
Yeah, I was surprised. Where's D.C. on there?
It's not in the top 30.
Really?
Nope. All right. Yeah, like Lake Worth, Florida, Charleston, West Virginia.
Hey, you know, they're trying to make D.C. a state. You've been reading about that?
I feel like that's been going on for a while.
It has been, yeah. But they're gaining momentum.
How would that be the smallest?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Things tiny.
It's like Vatican City.
Yeah, it would be the smallest. But they're trying to make that the 51st state, bro. Okay. Would you vote for that? You down with that?
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
I mean,
I don't either. Because the people... Well, because the people that live there are kind of in no man's land. They're like, hey, man, we matter too.
Yeah, well, if you live,
they're in Maryland.
Yeah, if you live right, you just are, like, but you vote in Maryland elections, right?
Yeah, I think they want their own. They're like, hey.
Well, can we do it like expansion? Let's just add Puerto Rico and that, right? And let's get to 52.
Yes.
Do it like in baseball,
right? Let's just start racking up states.
Why not? Let's add, you know, get some of that economy going, start sowing some more flags. Let's make this
happen. I heard some
people
wanted that state of Jefferson to happen, so could do that if you wanted, I guess.
The state of Jefferson?
What? Yeah, people in really Northern California and really Southern Oregon, there's this thing called the state of Jefferson that they've been pushing for a very long time. Look it up.
Huh. Well, now California wants to go halvesies, too. They want a lot of people in California on both sides. They want that to be two states. You want a Northern California and a Southern California.
Yeah, so 700,000 Americans are in D.C., and they pay taxes but don't really have any representation in the Senate. And they have one non-voting member in the House.
Okay. Yeah, give it to them. What the hell?
And they don't like that.
Go D.C.
Yeah. They said in 2016, 80% of D.C. residents voted in favor of being their own state.
What was the percentage?
80.
Yeah.
They want it.
Well, then who would be against it? Like, who's like, no, you can't be a state? Let them.
The state of Jefferson is a proposed U.S. state that would span the contiguous, mostly rural area of Southern Oregon and Northern California.
Okay. Would that be the worst state?
And the capital would be Yreka.
I'm going to go ahead and just label that right now. Worst state in the union.
And the largest city would be Roseville.
Yeah. Worst state in the union.
All right, coming up next, Cinetopia News. The Jeffersons was on last night.
I thought that was great.
Jamie Foxx.
I can't get enough of George Jefferson. He's one of my all-time favorite characters from TV, and I thought Jamie Foxx did a great. Like, it was it wasn't necessarily a good version of George. It was clearly like a tribute to him, but I enjoyed it.
And Tony Starlight in studio. We're going to talk a little Elton John as well. So the club is next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.